You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill, and once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We've got part three of our interview with a man who I do regard as a modern-day hero, Greg Quinlan. Greg, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
You're a wild man, but you are a hero. You're speaking out against one of the most politically incorrect movements that has ever been in this country, I think. Let's face it, Greg, it's not politically incorrect to be against the homosexual movement, and it's even less politically correct to say you once were gay and you're not gay any longer.
Right.
And yet that's where you are. We're talking with Greg Quinlan, who is the president of Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays. Greg also does work with the New Jersey Family Policy Council. He has his own group. And what is your group that you started in Ohio, Greg?
Pro Family Network. We're a Christian family advocacy organization.
Okay, you're not doing enough, Greg. You know, you really got to get out, stop slacking off here. And
right.
Greg's been on numerous media, too much to count here. He's been all over. He just testified in Maryland against the effort to legalize so-called homosexual marriage. We'll talk about that. But Greg, thanks for spending the time on the show. And, you know, I sent out I'm on Twitter. You can go to my Twitter account at Twitter/PeterLaBarbera. And I said, hey, you know, I was just putting a link into the interview. The other two segments of this interview are available on the Americans for Truth website. Just go to the Americans for Truth Hour on the right side. And I said, we have an interview with ex-gay Greg Quinlan. And the first right away comes back a tweet, they call it, which is a message on Twitter. And it said, no, he isn't. You must get that a lot, Greg. You say you're one thing and activists on the other side. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Well, that's just like saying I'm not a white male. I'm not 52 years old. I'm not an American. I'm not of Irish descent. No, you're not.
Yeah. What do you have to do to prove that you're really over this homosexual thing?
It beats me, you know, but my point is that I know who I am.
Right.
I know how I live, and I, you know, it's the point is the real point that we're making here, and the point that they're making by saying or denying my identity and my life is to say that I am is that I am a front to who they are. I am a challenge to how they choose to live, and that's the problem.
Right. Yeah. There's no thing that troubles. That they would like to squelch more, the homosexual activist movement and the liberal media, which is now practically a part of the homosexual movement. There's nothing more politically damaging to them and culturally damaging than the idea of ex-gays, people who once practiced homosexuality, who don't practice it any longer. That's a big threat to them.
It is a big threat to them. But the fact is that in order for them, and remember, too, we can't say the word them or
okay.
they, because it's prejudicial and bigoted.
Right.
And, you know, it's politically correct, so we can't, you know, it's not politically correct, so we can't use them or they.
You can slander the entire ex-gay movement, but you can't say the word them.
Yeah, it's absolute insanity. So I will continue to say the word them and they, because I'm a them and a they. But, and it's part of the English language. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a perfectly good word, and I'm going to continue to use it. But outside of that, it's the nonsense that a person doesn't have the right of self-determination, which, by the way, is a sociological scientific term. And this is what we have done. We've determined in ourselves that homosexuality doesn't work for us. Therefore, we are going to make change, make the efforts to change. Change is possible. Even in England right now, the challenge is there. But the scientific data is in support of my act of change.
Right.
And we know that sexuality is fluid. We know the brain is plastic. We know you can rewire the brain. I've talked about this so many times, it makes me sick. But it's true, and it's all about the way you think. And it's a simple task. In simple task, all of us, if we change a job And we have to make a new route from wherever it is we live to our destination at work. And over time, you'll get to your destination. You'll leave home for work, and you'll get to your destination, and you'll think, wait a minute. How did I get here? I don't remember going through that light. I don't remember doing this. It's why? Because you've rewired your brain. It's become an automatic function.
Well, what's happened now, it seems, Greg, is that the pro-homosexual movement has come automatically to rely on this idea of born gay, even though it's been repudiated and there's no proof, and people who've tried to prove it have been repudiated. People like Dean Hamer, who is a homosexual scientist, who is now a documentary filmmaker trying to promote the homosexual cause and even harassing pro-family people like Diane Gramley in Pennsylvania. They got a lot of mileage out of that. And it's like the media is not really focusing on this, so they just keep relying on the idea that people are going to think they're born that way and nobody can change.
In other words, if you tell a lie often enough, long enough, people will believe it.
Yeah, that's right. And that happens again and again. And all we can do is try to get people like you out in the public's eye. I truly believe that if millions upon millions of people were to hear your testimony, the whole debate would change. And that's why the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or GLAAD, and these guys are not – they're pretty mad for being a group called GLAAD.
They're good at the anacronyms, aren't they? They're very good at the Madison Avenue stuff.
Oh, yeah. GLSEN, GLAAD,
yeah,
you know.
But I have to tell you this. Yes, when our story gets out, people do start thinking. The first time I ever testified as an ex-gay on a bill in Ohio, I brought two other ex-gays with me, a woman and a guy. Both of them were married, both of them with children. They both testified along with me. And the legislators there, liberal,
they testified that they once were homosexual.
Yeah, they once were homosexual. They are ex-gay, and they still are ex-gay. And the first thing that one of the legislators said to me was that I've never heard of this before. And I said, well, and I've never met one before. And I said, well, you're about to meet a couple more. And that changed the bill.
Yeah.
It changed the outcome. I just recently, as you mentioned, testified in Maryland on the homosexual marriage bill. And today, as we record this, I know this is being played later, they're supposedly voting on it today, and they're being harassed and bullied by the governor and by the Speaker of the House of Delegates in Maryland, the Democrats are, to vote for this thing. But this should have had – it's what should have happened in 2 days after we voted, after we testified on the bill. It's taken now more than a week for them to actually come to terms and actually vote on it, because our testimony – people like myself, ex-gays who testified, ex-gays who wrote and made phone calls to their legislators in Maryland, it became clear that this is not immutable. It's not innate. Sexuality is fluid. People choose to be gay. Homosexuality happens for a whole host of reasons. And for that reason, we don't need to change the fundamental societal construct, the very thing that makes us a society, the definition of marriage, the definition of a family.
Right. And so, you know, people have to think. I wish youth would be exposed to you. And do you do a lot of speaking on college campuses or in high schools, Greg?
I have been. In fact, I've been harassed and bullied by teachers on a high school campus here in New Jersey, where they showed up, one of them, literally one of the teachers, an English teacher, little short woman, across her breast with a, and she did have clothes on, by the way, a bumper sticker that said, coexist.
Coexist, right?
I had not opened my mouth. I had not said a word. I was there to speak to the Bible Club. They invited the Gay Straight Alliance in, and she and six adults walked in there, three of them holding up tolerance and coexist bumper stickers, and I had not opened up my mouth. I had not said a word, only that they knew I was ex-gay, therefore I was a hater.
Right. Well, Greg, and for the record, this interview is being conducted on March 9th, and it will air on the 12th, so we'll see if that vote ever happened by the time this airs. But, you know, are you seeing – I was going to ask you, Greg, are you seeing more tolerance for the idea of ex-gays? I know PFOX is constantly saying, you know, you tolerate homosexuals, you pass laws to protect the rights of homosexuals. PFOX, which is the Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, of which you are president, they try to say include ex-gays under those non-discrimination laws. Are you seeing progress for the cause of former homosexuality?
I believe that we are, and I think we're also changing the minds of some homosexuals or seeing the intolerance that's placed against us. And for that fact alone, I just pray that, you know, people see this, that they understand that, homosexuality is not innate. You can change if you want to change. We're not demanding that you change. We're just saying you don't have the right or the obligation to change the laws, to completely change the societal construct to accept who you say you are.
Right. It's a pretty selfish demand when it comes right down to it.
Yeah, exactly. And but again, now I'm really going to you know sound hateful, but it's not hateful. The pathology, all of us have a pathology, a system of belief and behavior. The pathology of homosexuality is so narcissistic for some that they demand that you accept who they are and what they do.
Right, right.
Oh, we're back to they again. Gosh.
Yes. Yes. Well, folks, I forgot to mention that Greg Quinlan will be a speaker at our Truth Academy in Columbus, Ohio, April 1st and 2nd. That's a Friday and Saturday. Starts Friday afternoon, goes through Saturday afternoon. It's co-sponsored with Linda Harvey and Mission America, which is a great group. Their website is missionamerica.com. Ours is americansfortruth.org. You can sign up. There's a big bar on top of the website to just click it to get more information. It's only $75, I think, by March 26th, and $100 at the door. But, you know, we need people to be exposed, young people especially, to be exposed to people like Greg Quinlan. Because a lot of the agenda has advanced, the gay agenda has advanced by personalizing everything. And here we have living, breathing people who once practiced homosexuality and do no longer. And so come out to the Truth Academy. Tell your friends. It's April 1st and 2nd in Columbus, Ohio. There's information at americansfortruth.org. Greg Quinlan's website at PFOX is pfox.org. We'll be right after the break. Everybody, I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful and well-funded homosexual activist, bisexual, transsexual activist lobby. And we are a small organization, as is PFOX, which is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, of which Greg Quinlan, our guest, is the president. And Greg has a long record in pro-family activism. He came out of the homosexual lifestyle. You can listen to both the first two parts of this three-part interview at americansfortruth.org. And Greg, you talked about, you testified, they flew you down to Maryland to talk about against the idea of legalizing so-called homosexual marriage. First of all, to me, I just think the concept of homosexual marriage from a Christian standpoint is blasphemous. So I guess that makes me a hater too, huh?
Well, it does, and it is, but beyond that, the sociological science does not support it at all. In fact, here's what the testimony I gave. I started out with this, that the French High Court on February 3rd, this just as recently as this February 3rd, ruled that the prohibition of same-sex marriage is in accord with the French Constitution. In other words, the French Constitution says it's okay to ban same-sex marriage, effectively ruling that there's nothing unequal about upholding the definition of marriage between a man and a woman. We should learn a lesson from the French.
Right, because, you know, that's the number one propaganda tactic of the homosexual groups. And I read Human Rights Campaign's emails and all that. You know, it's always equality, marriage equality. They're really dumbing things down. I mean,
it's not about equality. It's about dominance.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not just dumbing things down. It's wearing down.
Right.
It's telling people in the church, you know, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, which is not true.
Right.
First of all, the term homosexual is in the late 1800s, so we didn't have homosexuality. He didn't have that in 30 AD to use. But what he did say in Matthew 19, and again, witnessed again in Mark chapter 10, is that he defined human sexuality, human relationship, what a family is, and what marriage is.
Right.
And in those three verses, and what he was doing, you know, for those the Christians that are listening, what he was doing, he was quoting Genesis in three places. The point of all that is this, is that, and he could do that absolutely because he was there, you know, those of us who believe that he was the Son of God and is divine and the second person of the Trinity. But the point is that homosexuality is defined by Jesus Christ himself, perfect God and sinless man in one body.
Right.
And that what human sexuality, what marriage is, what human relationship is, it's all defined there. What a family is.
Right.
Two women together raising children is not a family.
It's a mocking of the family. It's a crude attempt to copy a family.
Right. But beyond mocking the family, the problem with it is that two women in a sexual relationship raising children is not just mocking the family. It's a selfish denial
right.
for those children.
Right. Those children become fatherless by design.
Right. In 2006, the French Parliament did a study. It's called the Parliamentary Report on the Family and the Rights of the Children, and stated clearly that homosexual marriage could not be codified or recognized by any branch of the French government for the sake of the children, because children benefit in a mother and father relationship, and the government should not deny any child, by reasons of its laws, that relationship.
Right, and Greg, I want to get back to something you said just a minute ago, which is the wearing down. I think that's what we see in our society now. This movement of which you were once a part, because you were a volunteer for the Human Rights Campaign Fund, which is the name of the Human Rights Campaign before they ditched fund.
Yeah.
And they have worn a lot of people down. Let's face it. They've just, by their relentless pushing and aggression and demands, they have worn people down. And how do we get back the fervor in fighting these guys?
We can't give up. And how do we get the fervor back? We just can't give up. And the one thing we have to understand, too, Jerry Falwell said this best. When Christians lose, they go home. And when Christians win, they go home. We have to understand, we're fighting battles. And when we win the battle, the war isn't over.
Right.
We have to consistently be diligent, vigilant at this.
What greater illustration of that is there than the, well, two, I would think, the Boy Scouts and the homosexuals in the military issue? There, a lot of people thought we won the homosexuals in the military. Actually, it was a bad compromise put in effect by Bill Clinton. But, I mean, how many years does it take, Greg, for them to overturn it? And now look what they've pushed
and
pushed.
Well, what did it take? I'll tell you what it took. It took one man who has no moral compass, no moral foundation, and we all question so many things about him, and that's Barack Hussein Obama.
Right.
It took one man. So you can call it the movement,
but
it took this one man to do it. And who put him in there? It wasn't the 3 to 4% of the population that's homosexual. It was a vast majority of the American people that put this man in there, who lied to us about his position on marriage, who lied to us about his position on homosexuality, who frankly lied to us about everything.
Yeah, but my point is also, you know, they mobilized after Clinton imposed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The compromise. They mobilized. And a lot of our people said, okay, that battle's over. Then I think when we started finally waking up and saying, whoa, you know, they're going to get homosexuals in the military, it was too late. And now what's interesting, Greg, looking at the Republicans, I don't know about you, but I don't see much of an effort to repeal the repeal on the ban on homosexuals in the military. It's like, this one's a done deal. Obamacare, hey, we're going to fight that one tooth and nail. But the homosexuals in the military issue, I don't see a lot of action.
No, because we don't know what to do with it. How do you fight this? And there's the problem. Now, we're hearing some courageous politicians, you know.
Duncan Hunter.
Tim Pawlenty actually said publicly that if he were president, he'd reinstitute Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I'd rather he went back to the previous one, which actually says homosexuality is incompatible with military service.
Absolutely.
In the process of all that, though, how do we as a people, Christians who are caring, actually help someone who is in homosexuality? You can't help anybody who doesn't want help. What about those, though, who are trapped in a lifestyle, who feel like they're stuck there, and you do feel that way. You do feel like you were born there, mm-hmm. until you realize later that you aren't. But how do you help them? And we have to understand, and we have to walk that line of showing the love of Christ without being hateful, but yet standing firm for the truth.
Right. And you do the same thing for parents, Greg. We were talking off the air about how difficult it is for parents who, they want to affirm the homosexuality. Let's say their son declares that he's gay to his mom and dad. They want to show compassion, and a lot of them think that affirming his homosexuality is affirming his new identity as they understand it, which is to show love. But you come up through PFOX and you say, no, that's not the kind of love they need.
Right, but we also have to combat the lie that you're born that way. And see, this takes the pressure off families and family members, too. Well, they're born that way. There's nothing I can do about it. But many people who do have loved ones in their lives still realize there's no way anybody's born that way.
Right.
If you were born that way, you know, humanity would have been, you know, we wouldn't exist any longer. You know, now that we know that there's no such thing as a gay gene, and the twin studies absolutely prove that over and over again, it's impossible because identical twins, one's gay and one isn't. I mean, come on, get a clue here. They share the exact same DNA, so there's no genetic propensity to homosexuality. But we have to combat the lies that you're born that way, that there's some biological causation for it, that you're, you know, that if there's a genetic cause for it. And then past that, we have to understand, loving your child doesn't mean you accept every choice they make. Loving someone and it doesn't mean that you have to endorse or enable a behavior you know that is going to be self-destructive for them.
Right. And yet that's what they're demanding of others, and groups like PFLAG, which is your opposite. PFLAG is Parents and Friends and Families of Lesbians and Gays. That is a very powerful homosexual group, and they get a lot of mileage out of just being the parents, you know, the out of this.
And well-funded.
Sort of well-funded.
Pepsi funds PFLAG. Disney has funded PFLAG. Home Depot. Funds PFLAG. I meant that on purpose, Homo Depot. They all and other corporations fund the homosexual agenda.
Right. And there's huge corporate dollars going into this. And
we tried to get them to fund PFLAG, PFOX. You know, they fund PFLAG, well, then fund us.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, that doesn't happen.
Good luck with that, Greg.
but
someday, I think it's going to take the sort of relentless action that the other side has proven that it has. Now, you know, that means goals are not achieved maybe in 5 years, maybe not 10 years. But if you have to set your sights way down the road.
When did the homosexual battle really start? It started with the Stonewall riots in the 1970s. So now we're looking at 40 years. It took them 40 years to get where they are now.
Right.
And the church didn't fight smart. Those who opposed homosexuality didn't fight they fought with emotions, but not with brain, and not with evidence. And now that the evidence clearly continues to substantiate the Bible, substantiate our position that change is possible, substantiate the fact that no one is born homosexual, no one. Therefore, where are we? You know, we have to continue to fight this with the truth. And the other point to that is, too, is like your organization, our organization, you know, Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, Pro Family Network, the Family Policy Councils around the country, we can't do this without funding.
Right.
Just a fact of life. You know, you can't save the world if you can't pay the bills. And we can't fight these issues on behalf of the family without financial help and backing. And that's what's got to happen.
Right.
And the church has got to come by and do this too.
And the church has to decide that this is a battle worth fighting. And I'm afraid many church leaders, unfortunately, don't see themselves as cultural, moral leaders. And so we're talking
about, you know, what a shame. But I got to tell you, I got to say this. See, it's that kind of mentality. We wouldn't have an American Revolution with that kind of mentality.
Absolutely. Well, Greg talked about funding. You can give to PFOX at pfox.org. That's PFOX.org. Support this wonderful, wonderful organization. You can support Americans for Truth at americansfortruth.org. americansfortruth.org. There's a donate button at the top. We're talking to Greg Quinlan, who once was a homosexual activist, but no longer. Right back in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in part three of a three-part interview with Greg Quinlan, who's a friend of mine. He's speaking at the Americans for Truth Academy, which is being co-sponsored with Mission America. That's missionamerica.com. The Truth Academy, the theme of it is the hate labeling of Christians, how it happened and what you can do about it. And that's referring to, Greg, this idea that you and I and our groups are haters because we oppose homosexuality. And this is another tactic. Let's face it. This is one of the nastier tactics.
We're not haters. I'm not admitting that. We're labeled as haters.
Labeled,
because we don't hold the position that they have.
Labeled as haters because you disagree with homosexuality. And it sounds so ridiculous.
But for me, to disagree with homosexuality, I've been there. I've done that. I bought the whole outfit. Not just the T-shirt, but I bought the shoes and the shorts and the whole nine yards. I watched 100 of my friends and acquaintances die of AIDS. I know what it is to be gay. I've been there, done that. I was a gay activist. I lobbied on Capitol Hill. I lobbied at the State House. I know what that's like. And I'm telling you, you don't have to stay gay if you don't want to.
Yeah, and that is a core truth that more people need to hear. And I'm afraid that there are many young people, Greg, who are just ignorant. They've never heard of an ex-gay. They are swimming in a gay culture.
Right. All they've heard is the gay culture, because now it's being promoted in the schools. The statistics used to be that 70% of all men who go into homosexuality, and this was the Centers for Disease Control, had been sexually assaulted or exposed sexually at an early age. And that's true. But in the last 10 to 15 years, I've started to notice that some of the people I've seen now who are behaving homosexually have done it because they've been encouraged to do it, or it's been educated to do it by the government school systems.
Well, absolutely. We talk about it in every other aspect of life. We say that violent movies are going to encourage violent behavior. Why wouldn't pro-homosexual films and songs websites and teachings in school, why wouldn't that create and engender homosexuality among young people? That's the way things work.
You are filling impressionable minds, blank slates, with information, first of all, that is incorrect, that's absolutely false. And this is where we have to start standing up for our own rights, and we've got to start playing smart here. And I get people that tell me, when I accuse a legislator of a hate crime, and they say, you can't do that because that's using their rhetoric. Yes, it is, because where have you been, folks? We lost that battle. Hate crimes are the laws now, so let's pay attention here.
Right.
So the point is use their sword against them.
Right.
They commit a hate crime, they attack me verbally. If there's full of hate speech, I'm going to expose that. When I testified in Maryland, there was a Senator Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S. He represents a district in the socialist Marxist principality called Montgomery County, Maryland. He stood there and attacked people of faith, attacked the Bible, and said God didn't sign up on the testimony list. I call that hate speech, and I yelled it out in the committee room.
And what was the reaction?
Well, he did stop.
Right.
And went on to the other parts of it.
Because you called him on his bigotry is what it comes down to, Greg.
And it's time for us to do this, too. We've got a crazy notion of what love is. Jesus showed love. But, tell the truth in love. But it isn't love until you tell the truth.
Well, I think we've got a crazy notion, at least I'm talking evangelical Christians. A lot of them just don't like confrontation. They don't understand. That's what a lot of politics is. A lot of the cultural war stuff is going to be confrontational. You have to be able to stand up for truth.
The gospel is confrontational.
Absolutely.
The gospel is confrontational. The gospel offends. I don't want to offend anybody. Well, then you're not a Christian, and you have no care or love for those who are lost. Yeah, I just said that, and I mean it.
You are so hateful.
I know, I'm such a bigot. But I'm letting you know, we cannot act this way anymore. We have to understand. That doesn't mean I have to go, hey, faggot, I want to tell you about Jesus. No, that's not what you do.
Of course.
You sit there in a conversation, and the subject comes up, you present Christ to them. You tell them the truth about homosexuality.
And talk a little bit about this emergent Christianity, this new thing where, you know, you have people like Andy Miron saying, who's in Chicago and purports to be a witness for Christ to homosexuals, saying, hey, we need a moratorium on discussing homosexuality in churches for blank number of years, you know, fill in the number. Mm-hmm. You know, what is that? That's avoidance. What's going to happen if we avoid?
We have a moratorium on discussing sin of any kind.
Right.
So we have a moratorium on, oh, this part of the Bible we're going to black out. We're going to censor this. No, that isn't the truth. It's not the gospel. It's not a true representation of God Almighty or His Son Jesus Christ or the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a false, false gospel.
I think it's a cop out too. It's a lot easier if you just say, "Hey, we're going to cop out of the culture war. We're just going to minister the gospel." Although I question the gospel that Andy Miron is ministering, because, you know, if you're afraid to say publicly in front of a homosexual activist, as I witnessed, as I was on a radio program with him on Moody Radio, you're afraid to say homosexuality is a sin. Are you really conveying the gospel? You know, would you be afraid of telling somebody who's practicing adultery? Would you be afraid to say that's a sin or any other sinful behavior?
There you go. You know, in other words, there's no such thing as that. We're just not going to confront them anymore.
Okay. Now, on the topic of confrontation,
yes.
You've been doing corporate activism, and you're one of the few people who's actually gone down to these big shareholder meetings. You did this at Pepsi, and I think you also did this at Disney, right?
Correct.
Any other companies?
Not yet, but we're working on it.
Okay, now you went down, and for example, how much PepsiCo, how much do they give to homosexual activists or specific homosexual groups?
$500,000 to $1 million.
Pepsi.
Pepsi. Pepsi is one of the largest endorsers of the homosexual agenda, and it has been since their CEO, Indra Nooyi, took over. And remember, Pepsi is not just Pepsi-Cola. Pepsi is also Quaker Oats and Frito-Lay.
Oh, wow.
Tropicana, Aquafina. Pepsi is a huge, huge corporation. They make a lot of money, and they're worldwide. Pepsi is also too mocks people of faith. They have contracts, and they get their drinks, you know, kosher labeled, but we're talking with the Orthodox Jews now, letting them know that Pepsi is out to destroy people of faith, Christian and Jew, by their positions of social activism by endorsing homosexuality.
Now, how long have they been giving these massive grants to homosexual groups?
Since Indra Nooyi has been there for the last 4 to 5 years.
And is it mainly PFLAG, or do they spread it out over a bunch of homosexual groups?
No, they have
groups?
Given to HRC, they've given to some other organizations, but PFLAG gets a huge chunk of that change.
Now, any idea what PFLAG's budget is now, Greg?
I have no idea.
But if they're getting $500,000 from Pepsi, they've got some money.
They're getting $500,000 from Pepsi. They're getting it from other corporations and groups, too. You know, Kraft is a huge supporter of the homosexual agenda.
Yeah, it's a shame. These companies have sold out. What do you think's behind that, Greg? Is it just
it's HRC. Let me tell you something. When I said in the Park High, I think I said this in one of the other programs, too. You know, I said at a conference of HRC and listened to them talk about how we have to change the culture to make it homosexually accepting, and one of those two was corporate activism. We have to change that and go in there. So they started the Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And in that Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, they actually give these false data that the homosexual population in the United States has $750 to $800 billion in expendable income. I just want you to know in the 10 years I was in the lifestyle, I missed that gravy train.
And you're missing it now, Greg.
First of all, that number is absolutely impossible. It's a fraudulent, made-up number.
Yeah.
Because there are a few homosexual billionaires out there. But there are a lot of heterosexual billionaires out there that outnumber them. That would make every homosexual in this country a multimillionaire. It's just impossible.
But they succeeded in creating this image of this is a market you cannot refuse. You have to be part of it. You have to do what you can to get in good with the gay market. And it obviously worked, but partially because pro-family Christians and people of faith and conservatives were not engaging on this issue in the corporate world, which
right.
You are now trying to do. So tell me about this. How you got? How did that go? Your testimony. Tell us about your PepsiCo shareholder testimony.
Well, actually, what happened there was we met some people that are of like mind, and we did win the first year. And then the second year, what happens is every time you go back, you have to have an increase in the number of votes of the shareholders. And some of the allies that were helping us promote this and educating the general public about it backed away from us on this last vote, so we weren't able to garner the support that we needed.
And what did the resolution say that you tried to pass?
Well, the resolution there was basically to you know, in their equal employment opportunities, it was about including ex-gays. Because they include sexual orientation, we wanted ex-gays to be included.
And so that some of your conservative groups that were with you before didn't join in on the second one?
No, they didn't join in.
Okay, why was that? I mean, it's just...
Well, a lot of them, they when they do their boycotts, they only boycott one corporation at a time, and so they moved on to another one.
Okay, all right. And by the way, I want to quickly mention, while we're talking about these corporations, Americans for Truth is calling on people to boycott Chili's because they're funding the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force in a big way. That's another group even more radical than the Human Rights Campaign. And also Wells Fargo is a big supporter of the homosexual agenda. So, Greg, do you see us getting to the point where some of these corporations will say, hey, I'm going to either start giving to groups like PFOX or we're just going to pull out of the homosexual issue in terms of giving because it's so controversial?
I would hope that's what they do. Why are they in this kind of this social activism? I mean, there's disease processes out there. There's other charities like food banks. Why aren't you supporting that? Why are you going with you know, none of this makes sense unless there's a personal agenda by the people who are high up on the board of directors.
Well, we know there's a lot of people inside the corporations doing a lot of activism among homosexual activists who get into corporations and at very high levels.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, one of the reasons that Fox seems to be so pro-homosexual is because many of the producers and associate producers of many of the shows there happen to identify themselves as homosexual.
Well, it's a tactic that works, but I commend you for getting in there and actually standing up against it, Greg. Talking to Greg Quinlan, who's going to be a speaker at the Truth Academy conference coming up April 1st and 2nd in Columbus, Ohio. Greg and Professor Rob Gagnon, Professor Rena Linda Valton, Matt Barber, Linda Harvey, I'll be there. Please come out. Go to our website, AmericansForTruth.org, and sign up. It's AmericansForTruth.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We're in our last segment of our third part of a three-part interview with Greg Quinlan, who is the president of PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays. He's also a speaker at our Truth Academy that's being co-sponsored with Mission America. Details are at AmericansForTruth.org. It's Friday and Saturday, April 1st and 2nd. I'll be seeing Greg in Columbus. And Greg's a great guy. You'll love to meet him. If you know any young people, get them out to Columbus. We need to if you're a homeschooler, get your kids out there. We need to expose kids to people like Greg who've left the homosexual lifestyle because, let's face it, Greg, young people today are utterly inundated with pro-homosexual messaging.
Right. They are. And that it becomes impossible to ignore. And Christian families and pastors are just, they're aghast. They don't know what to do. It's the new fad. But right. Cutting is a fad, too, now.
Cutting your skin.
Cutting your skin. Well,
yes.
Yeah, cutting till you bleed.
Right.
I mean, what are the next fad that we're going to accept and promote? I mean, this is insanity, pure, sheer insanity.
Yes, and you know what? Here's just a quick fact from the CDC fact sheet, September 2010. While CDC estimates that, this is the Centers for Disease Control, estimates that men who have sex with men account for just 4% of the U.S. male population age 13 and older, the rate of new HIV diagnoses among men who have sex with men in the United States is more than 44 times that of other men. So, you know, these facts are not discussed. All we're seeing in the pop culture is the glamorization of your former lifestyle.
Exactly. And that's what's happening to them. Well, what are we glamorizing? We're glamorizing disease. We're glamorizing violence. Violence is higher than any other segment of the population.
Say a word about that, Greg, because that's something rarely gets talked about, the gay-on-gay, the domestic violence that's rampant in homosexual relationships.
It is rampant in homosexual relationships because you're talking about two emotionally wounded people who feed off of each other's emotional woundedness, and what happens is an explosion. So the increase in domestic violence is rampant across the country, but it's very true among homosexuals who live together in a sexual relationship. Very high.
Okay, now, Greg, we're back to the corporate activism. Anything more about Pepsi? Did you get a lot of people coming up to you who had never seen, heard of the idea of ex-gay at that? Was it? I'm sure it was worthwhile there.
No. Actually, I got applause because I'm starting to pick up that among the shareholders, there's a lot of discontent with the with Indra Nooyi, the CEO. So that needs to be a response that, you know, people are getting a little upset with her and the way she manages the company. And she's had no more success in making the company grow than the previous, than her predecessor. So there's some discontent, and people are very, they want it to stop. They didn't want just to add us to it. I had people tell me, large shareholders tell me they wanted this to stop.
Right, and it's wasting their money.
It is wasting their money. And the same thing to Disney when I was there. But what was very interesting about Disney is what an insult it was. John Pepper, who was the chairman of the board of the Walt Disney Corporation, and I stood there, he says, we just can't respond to every nuance that comes along responding to our shareholder resolution. I'm not a nuance, I'm a human being. But in back of that, too, John Pepper is the former CEO of Procter & Gamble, and being the former CEO of Procter & Gamble, he also turned that company into being pro-gay. So you start to got to wonder, what is Mr. Pepper's agenda on the homosexual issue, and why is he a part of Disney, a family corporation promoting homosexuality?
Now, what was Disney making grants as well, or what was the specific objection on Disney?
Well, Disney, you know, has a Gay Pride Month at all of their parks.
Yeah. Yes.
Disney promotes this kind of thing. Disney actually actively hires homosexuals. You know, in fact, it's been said and rumored, there have been complaints by heterosexuals that if you go in there and there's a homosexual who is equally qualified with you, the homosexual will get hired before you do.
Right.
There is a preference in hiring at Disney.
Reverse discrimination, I guess you would call it.
Reverse discrimination, and it gets to the point, though, you're exposing your children to this.
And, well, Greg, so you're looking at other corporations, and what do you have to say to that Christian employee group at a major corporation? Because a lot of these groups, you know, they're all about the gospel, which is, of course, what we need to be about as Christians, but they don't really engage the gay employees group. What can you say to somebody?
Some of them do. I've actually had that, and I don't want to mention the company's names, but I've actually had that happen by some. So they are engaging. But I think the problem here is that the people who own the stock, a while back when Disney was really going nuts with their former CEO, Eisner.
Michael Eisner. Yeah.
Bigot, anti-Christian bigot, vehemently anti-Christian. And he was taking the company from a pro-family stance to almost a risque soft porn part, which is what it is now. I mean, if you go to, you know, some of what you see on Disney now, it's the suggestiveness is deeply there. But when they were doing that, they were protesting Disney. They sold their stock. That's not what you do. Your stock is your voice. Your shares are your voice. And what they needed to do was to band together with their shares and kick that and fire him. But instead, you see, Christians don't know how to fight, and we don't know how to fight smart. All we know how to do is retreat.
I heard a kvetching retreat, as one rabbi put it. We complain and then we step back. So, Greg, we've got 3 minutes left. I want to get your assessment of Governor Christie, because there's a lot of talk about him. But quickly, to the Christian who wants to stay engaged in this culture war battle, what do you say to him? How does he do something? What does he do to start getting involved?
Well, first thing, he or she, as a Christian, you need to ask the Lord what
they
to do. Those people.
Right.
Well, they need to ask the Lord what to do. They need to seek the Lord themselves. They need to understand that God was involved in government, obviously. He put kings in places. There's the government is completely through the entire gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, government is involved, and we are to be involved in that government. We are salt and light. And in order for us to be salt and light, we need to be involved in every aspect of our society, from the schoolhouse to the ballot box. That means that Christians, too, need to be involved as far as running for office. You need to get on the school boards and the city councils and the village councils. You need to be in the state legislatures and in Congress. And you don't leave your values at the door. This nation was founded on Christian principles. In fact, you know, and I'm not a Calvinist, but, you know, there's strong evidence to show that, you know, our Constitution is a Calvinist document. our Constitution was signed in the year of our Lord, is the way it says it. You know, everything about our founding documents is solely religious. John Adams even said, this government is for a religious and moral people and is wholly inadequate for the government of any other.
All right, Greg, we got a minute and a half left. Tell me about Governor Christie. He's done some wonderful things. He's pro-life. How is he on the homosexual issue?
Well, he did stop gay marriage, but he also signed the bully bill.
Now, that's a bullying bill that says special provision. It mentions sexual orientation, so we would have rather just was against bullying without regard to sexual orientation.
Well, why do we need an enumerated list of protecting?
Right.
You know, we know what bullying is. If somebody gets bullied, it's bullying. But the problem with this bully bill is going to bully school systems and school districts so that if you say anything about homosexuality at all, it's a homosexual indoctrination bill. It was written by gay activists, and that's what's wrong with this bill.
And Christie signed it, so he's...
Eagerly.
Did he heed any of the pro-family complaints about it?
Well, what he did was he waited at the very last minute to sign it. That was heeding the pro-family complaints.
Well, that doesn't...
And there's other things I could say that I can't say now about that issue. Also, too, he's just appointed a Muslim to... or nominated a Muslim for the high court here in New Jersey. This is, troubling. He's some of his appointments have been extremely troubling. But he has been extremely consistent on stopping Planned Parenthood money, family planning money. He's been extremely consistent on protecting the institution of marriage as one man and one woman. And he's been fighting the anti-family agendas of the unions, which really control every aspect of our society.
Okay, we've got to cut you off there, Greg. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I will see you in Columbus.
Yes, sir.
All right. God bless you, and God go to pfox.org. Find out about the Americans for Truth Academy at americansfortruth.org.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.